They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000, besides women and children. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, immediately made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. It was being buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Matthew 14 and John 6. Warren Worsby reminds us there will always be storms in this life. Some will be storms such as that which Jonah found himself in, where he was running from God, refusing to do the will of God. And so God sent the storm to recover Jonah and to bring him to himself. Before this particular night, the disciples had been with Jesus in another great storm. And out of that storm, their faith had been questioned while yet becoming an encouragement for their growth as their eyes were being opened. They were in the will of God this night, doing as directed, but weak in believing what they saw and by what they believed in their hearts. And for this reason, it was better to remove the disciples from the temptation that was erupting within the throng of people who had gathered to hear Jesus teach, and who had also been witness to the feeding of the 5,000 men from 2 loaves of bread and 5 fishes, and of the incredible reality that there were yet baskets of food left over after everyone having had their fill. Jesus would send the disciples away to remove the temptation of making him king. Even though they had been witness to miracles already, it would not be until after the next miracle occurring that night that some of them would truly begin to see Jesus as who he was, the Son of God. And so shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." How often do we read Scripture and we look with glazed eyes, recalling perhaps the telling of the story when we were young? Perhaps there was something in the story that took place that we could find in our own lives as a relational moment. Too often, though, we miss the beauty of those moments and the totality of the event's meaning. The picture of salvation is so beautifully written in the story of the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. It's hard for us to begin to imagine the pace of events that took place as Jesus traveled amongst the people. We would have difficulty today keeping a pace with him and what was happening around him. Constantly there were those who would kill him given the opportunity. There were those who looked for every opportunity to call him a blasphemer and worse. And there were those whose hearts were so hardened that they could not hear what he said and did not believe what they saw him do. Not much has changed in 2,000 years since the time Jesus walked on the earth. Men's hearts have become crueler, though, if that's possible. At the time of this miracle, Jesus had heard of the beheading of John the Baptist, and he had sought to spend some time alone, but word spread wherever he went, even in remote places, that he was near. And people came out to hear him speak or to ask that he may relieve them of their infirmities. Did they believe? Or were they just looking for physical relief by the way of healing or food to eat? Did any understand? Did any believe? Did any know who walked among them? What of us today? Why do we come? Why do we gather? What do we believe? And who do you say Jesus is? Jesus had gone up into the hills to pray and talk to our Heavenly Father, and he could see out upon the lake and would have known of the storm that was approaching and of how the disciples would be out in the wind and the wave and the effort it would take for them to reach the distant shore. He would know of the fear within them, that same fear he had witnessed prior when he was out in the boat with them and another storm had come up, and they woke him in fear for their lives, only to witness his power to calm the storm and settle the sea. That day they had asked, "Who is this, that even the wind and the wave obey him?" And here they are again in the midst of a storm, nature tossing them back and forth, while we may find ourselves having great sympathy for them in this situation. As Warren Wiersbe made note, the situation, it could have been of greater detriment to them had they stayed amongst those gathered on shore and become part of a mob unruly in their demands for him to lead them. Sometimes we exchange one storm for another, and it is how we come out on the other side of the storm that will determine our growth or stagnation. Will we be amazed, or will we be disillusioned and discouraged? Will we give glory to God, or will we consider what happened as bad luck? Will we love God for bringing us through it, or will we hate him for being put through it? Off in the distance on the lake, there appeared something, and the disciples became afraid. What was it that was out in the water? In the midst of their trouble, in the depths of their fear, there came a voice to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." It was the voice of him who can command the wind and the waves, who can heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and can raise the dead from their slumber. Who is this that commands creation? And creation obeys. These are some of the most reassuring words that we can share with each other and with those in pain who are suffering or fearful of what tomorrow may bring. These words come from our heart. They speak of our belief, and they speak of our trust in them, and of having a great confidence that at the name of Jesus, even creation bows before him, and the storms that rage must retreat, and peace and calm fills the air and lifts the heart. Belief is foundational to the Christian faith. It is through belief that individuals enter into a relationship with God and receive the gift of salvation. Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who approaches him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Belief is not a one-time act, but a continual trust and reliance on God throughout one's life. The Apostle Paul emphasizes belief as an essential for salvation. In Romans 10:9-10, he writes, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved." Here, belief is both an inward conviction and an outward confession. Peter knew as he went into the water that he could not save himself in the chop. And so he cried out for Jesus to save him. By this showing his belief that Jesus could save him after having failed to believe that Jesus would keep him above the water. And when he asked Jesus to command him to come, and Jesus said, "Come," Peter found strength to go, but not the trust to stay. Like the others, he had witnessed the miracles, but his heart did not yet fully believe. Like so many others, they kept looking for proof while omitting the proof that was before them. But this night, something was touched in them. More than being saved by him, more than the calming of the storm, more than they could yet understand, they found a desire within them to worship him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Each of us has experienced our times of little faith, of weak belief, of doubt. We get lost in things we take for granted, and when something extraordinary comes along, we don't know how to process it. Miracles happen every day, but we're often too busy to take notice. Our desires to test, to take, to achieve, oftentimes overtake our desires to serve, to trust, and to believe. And yet those three words, save, trust, and believe, can and will change our lives. Like Peter, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we can easily find ourselves where we have no desire to be. When we wander out on our own, he knows where we are, and he waits for us to call out, "Lord, save me." Peter was in the depths. Darkness surrounded him under the waves, and there came to him a hand reaching in for him and rescuing him. And Jesus breathed new life into him, because Peter would never look the same at Jesus again. Why do you doubt? Storms will blow in, but at the name of Jesus, even they must obey the Creator of heaven and earth. Will you call out today? Lord, save me.